intercepted. Puss Lesney's got it. The former Bill is thrown out of bounds at the 32-yard line.
You know that felt good.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach. Straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by the head coach. And before we begin our conversation of yesterday's game and forward to the final month of the season, this invitation to join Jeff Loggeman for Jaguars All Access right after our program this evening. Tune over to CBS 47 on the television dial at 7 o'clock, and Brad Meester, who has started 189 games in his Jaguars career, joins Jeff Loggeman. Time to bring in the head coach. Hello, Coach. How are you tonight?
Hey, Brian. getting ready for the next one already.
With the Jets sitting up in front of you this week. You know, the thing that stands out to me yesterday simply was that the Fred Jackson-CJ Spiller combination, which I didn't think was as powerful as an Arian Foster or a Chris Johnson, which you successfully stopped in the last couple of weeks, it befuddled, it mystified the defense. They couldn't find a way to put him down, and that ended up being a big part of the game, didn't it?
Oh, it did. We went in as, you know, one of our top things was to try to stop the run. Not to try, but had to stop the run.
Right.
And that's typically the MO every week. We know that's how teams want to try to attack us, and that's how really you balance any offense off is with a real good run game. And the weather really dictated to run the football yesterday with, I mean, it basically rained for 3 hours, and with the winds and how it swirls in that stadium.
Yeah, well, you talked about that last week.
They came in, and that was their mindset, and obviously we just didn't play well enough to me, as well as we've played in the last couple of weeks, that to stop two guys are that good.
Is that, when it comes to the run, Coach, and most players will just say simply, stopping the run's an attitude. I mean, it's a mindset as much as anything.
Well, it that's a lot of it, but also it's being very disciplined in where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to be, and then really good tackling. And these guys are dangerous threats. I mean, CJ just came in here, CJ Spiller, and complimented an already very good run game with Jackson, and a very elusive guy. And when you don't, you know, maintain leverage and keep the ball where it's supposed to be and where you have your buddies that are going to be there to help you, it's going to get, and it gets outside with a guy like this, you saw what can happen.
You know, and just to give an example of the game, I think it was early in the third quarter, Spiller had about a 12 to 13 yard run right up the middle, and it was one defensive lineman who was out of just one. He peeked his head too far to the inside, and Spiller went right off of his backside and right up the middle, and there was nobody there because the defensive lineman didn't keep his discipline. So just one man can make it.
No, play. That's important. That's in all defenses. A lot of defenses are gap control, and that those gaps, when the ball is snapped, they move. I mean, obviously when there's you know, a stretch play, an outside play, and the linemen are reaching, those gaps are, that either linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, or safeties are responsible for those gaps. Well, this play was really, like you said, right up the middle, and they'd run the play earlier, and you know, we had another player that was there do exactly what he was supposed to, stay in that gap, and they had a no gain on it.
Right.
And they came back to it to see if they could, you know, see if we can get somebody undisciplined and not play where they're supposed to, and it hit for, like you said, 12 or 13 yards.
Yeah, right up the middle. And there, you know, for the most part, I mean, until the fourth quarter, CJ Spiller was, you'd done a pretty decent job on him. He had 12 carries, I think, at one point for 32 yards.
Right.
And then he showed you just how quickly he can.
Well, that's a good example, because you had something to show if you do it the right way and everybody's where they're supposed to be, it can get clogged up there in the middle, and it did. And then when you're not, how it can get to that second level, and now they're really dangerous once they get by the defensive line.
Yeah, and you know that the Jets are going to come down here with the idea of run the ball with Sean Green, who had 104 yards yesterday. So, I mean, number one again this week, stop the run, correct?
Well, it will be, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to watch. I mean, the proof is on the tape that we struggled yesterday trying to stop them. You know, especially we got worn down a little bit. That was a big offensive line,
yeah,
and very big, very, very physical offensive line. And we, you know, if you shut it down early, you can get them out of that kind of mindset of running the ball. But I'll give credit to Chan, Gailey, and that staff, and they just kept pounding it and kept pounding and waiting for us to – to buckle, or make a mistake. And with those kind of running backs, boy, those mistakes are big.
Well, and to show how it all ties in together, third down was a problem again yesterday, which allowed them to consistently have the ball. And by the time we got to the fourth quarter, that defense had been on the field an awful long time.
Right. The time of possession, even though we ran the similar number of plays, they possessed the ball. They held on to the ball much longer than for another 10 minutes more than we did. And, even if the weather's cool and like it was yesterday, when you're out on the field for that much time, you do get worn down, especially against a big, big offensive line like they had.
Had a lot of folks ask me today, hey, how did Jason Babin play? I mean, everyone was interested in it. I said, well, we really don't know. Well, obviously, and you'll tell us. But from my perspective, we didn't get to see him do what he does best because they only threw the ball 5 times in the second half.
Yeah, they really didn't throw the ball. They threw the ball 17 times in the game. And, that's not what his specialty is. But the thing people are concerned about with him is his size and against the run. And you're talking about a massive right tackle that he was up against. Oh, yeah. And I thought we graded him out a winning grade based on what he did. And it's just amazing how relentless this guy is and how he throws his body around. I mean, he was throwing any body part he could into holes to try to stop the momentum of the offensive line. And, you talk about a guy that goes to the whistle every single play in practice games. That's just his mindset, and he's going to fit in here really good.
And he'll be here an entire week, and I'm sure a lot of folks are anxious to see him here in front of the home crowd on Sunday afternoon with the Jets.
Right. I think our fans will really like Jason and what he brings to our team.
All right, we've come to our first stoppage point here of the evening. And you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They're a proud sponsor of the Jaguars. More to come with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, the Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo and start earning your rewards today. Brian Sexton back with head coach Mike Mularkey. Coach, I thought the turning point in the game was you go up 10-7 and then the kickoff ensuing. Marcus Easley in for Leotis McKelvin finds a crease, and not only 55 yards, but the penalty on Richard Murphy, and all of a sudden they're sitting at your 26-yard line. Momentum is such a big part of this game, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. And the problem is we've had that happen to us a number of times this year where we felt like, hey, this is going in our direction, where we're positively finally getting things that are going our way, and we have just, especially on that kickoff unit, we have just given up a big run, a big return at the worst of times. And it does it. And you're talking in a matter of seconds, a belief that you start to have doubt. Here we go again. But then that 15-yard penalty that we had, which was not a smart play on our part, but it was a young player, first game as an NFL player, just trying to – it was an aggressive penalty by Richard Murphy.
Right.
A quick decision type thing that happens in games, and when you haven't played in a lot of games, this is your first one. It was costly.
And what your special teams units are dealing with is a lot of guys who are brand new to the roster. I mean, you signed a few guys last week and put a few guys in IR, and that has an impact on it, doesn't it? I mean, it's tough to work week to week anyway, but when you're moving guys up to play for injured starters, it really does have a residual effect. How do you get past that?
It does. I mean, for an example, Montel Owens now is our feature running back with the injury to Rashad. So Montel is clearly, I think, the best special teams player, in at least in this side, the AFC. And I think that's why he goes to Pro Bowl every year. But now he is not on your special teams because you can't have him running down and doing all those 30-some snaps of special teams. So now somebody else has to step in there. We do have some young faces that are young players and new players that a lot of our guys have been here since the OTAs and training camp, and we work and work and work. And, now you got guys here for a week that are trying to do what we've been working on for months, and it's very well coordinated. And if one guy, just like a defense, is not in its place, those kind of returns can take off on you. And against a very good team, a very good special teams unit.
We talked last week, but you and I didn't talk. You spoke with the media late in the week after signing Babin and talked about Babin being able to put his hand on the ground and rush the passer, even though he'd only been here for a couple of days. So obviously it's more complicated when you're bringing in guys on coverage teams because of responsibilities then.
It is. I mean, the complexities of returns it doesn't matter. There's so many different ways to people try to return with double teams and they're trapping you, and there's, you got to know where it's coming. You have to know who to play off of on your own kickoff team. There's more to it than running down and tackling the guy. I mean, I think everybody just thinks go to the ball when it's kicked. That's not how it works. I mean, we work on multitudes of techniques based on where the ball is, based on how far away you are from the ball, based on who's trying to block you. You may be getting doubled. We want to split the double. And then we got guys that are working off other, you know, we're trying to maintain leverage and always trying to, if we can't get it, force the ball to where one of our other teammates is to get it. And, again, it's very similar to like an offensive line, that the longer you do things together, the more you have a feel for what my guy next to me, my partner next to me, is going to do.
Now, the flip side of that is the punt team. I mean, Lewis McKelvin only returned one punt for about 12 yards, 13 yards. But late in the ball game, Brian kicked that ball so high that the return man, Justin Rogers, who shouldn't have fielded it inside the 10 but did, muffed it. And it gave you a, you know, shot at the end zone and got on the board.
Right. No, that was big for us because, again, that's a great example of our returners. We've had some indecision when it's been down near the 10-yard line. You really don't want to catch a punt inside the 10. There's just too many things that can happen. You'd rather let it see if it can go through the end zone and get it out on the 20. But, you know, it was a risk he took. And the thing was, he took his eyes off because both of our gunners, Blake and Kevin Elliott, who are very good, I mean, really good, were bearing down on him. And all he did was he took his eye off of that for just a split second, and that made the difference in a big play for us.
And I'm not sure if people, you know, saw it or heard it, but that was a moonshot. I mean, it went up and he dropped it straight down. That's what he does very, very well. Even a wet ball in those conditions, that was a terrific punt.
No, it was. It was. And, again, some of that's, you know, I say it wasn't a good decision, but some of that's easy for me to say. You know, that's one of the hardest things to do in football is be a punt returner, because you've got, you know, literally 10 guys that you're not looking at coming down to lay out, and you're watching this punt, and, you know, you're worried about that, and where are you on the field?
Right.
You know, I thought it was on the 10, and then he knows he can – he's hearing the crowd. There's a lot of things going on in that 5 seconds that ball is
drops.
Up in there, drops. And, you know, that's a perfect example of what can happen because of Brian's ability to punt the ball like that.
I've been impressed with – you know, early on we saw in the Giants preseason game, you know, a guy muff a couple of punts because those shots were so high and he had to crane his neck up so much. I guess a final thought on special teams as you go forward, you know, and you've got young guys, and there may be more depending on – you know, the way the season goes with injuries over the final month. Does your strategy change with respect to kickoffs? There were some times yesterday where it looked like the strategy was to make them return it.
Not a bit.
No, you want to touch back every time?
Yeah, the weather was not, as you know, not good. That is a stadium. You're constantly dealing with the weather, and the wind swirls in there. It changed directions even mid-quarter. So right. It wasn't like you had an advantage to what end of the field you were working from. But no, we have a number of young guys. Majority of our special teams are guys that are made up of undrafted free agents that have shown something special teams wise. That you know, that's how they're making their salary.
Right.
And you know, like in all areas, we didn't play well enough to beat that team yesterday, and we need to play better, and we need to do some things better. And some of that is just run and play more physical in those areas and not catch blocks and not take on blocks. And that is things that I know are correctable that we will fix. And it's been addressed pretty seriously.
An arm around Scobie as you walk down the hallway. Hey, put it to the end zone here, pal. all these guys
sometimes.
And yesterday, I know. Yesterday, the wind and the weather.
You know, I think sometimes he tries to do it, you know, too much. And
right.
That's just like I've told him. It's like your golf swing. You overswing, and it's not going to be that shot that you anticipated.
Right.
And I know he knows that's what we need. That was as a defense had a must to stop the run.
Yep.
Our must was not to let these guys get their hands on the ball and have returns on us. That and again, obviously, that's what happened, and you saw the results.
You bet. All right, folks. So we'll try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, just $10.99. You get a huge helping of their barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, just $10.99. Sonny's the first name in barbecue, and we're back with more with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. A bunch of guys, I know you updated the injury-wise today. The one that most of our listeners are probably concerned with is Cecil Shorts and how he's doing today and what it looks like for him as he tries to come back from the hit he took to the head yesterday.
He took quite a blow. Yes, he did. And you know, he tried to come back in that game, and with new policies in the NFL, we couldn't let him go back in there. But he was really trying his hardest to get back. That's the kind of player you have here. We're going to do some more concussion tests tomorrow with him and Rashad Jennings, who also was in the program, and also George Selvey, who is a late addition to that. But it's a very serious matter now these days with a concussion, and,
sure,
and there's a lot of tests that go on, and they've got to pass them, and we're complying to everything that they've asked, and being very serious about looking at it. But we'll know more tomorrow.
You know, with LaRon Robinson, who never had a concussion until he came here and suffered the one back in training camp and then three more during the season, as a coach, even if guys clear the program, is there a wariness on your part to put a guy back out there so suddenly and risk losing him with multiple concussions quickly?
I do think about that. Sure, yeah. I do. I'm very cautious when it comes to, obviously, the head, the neck, the back, those areas that can be serious, you know, for the rest of your life. So
right.
I do. I am very, especially when I see, that's why I go out on the field a lot, when I see something area that, that's a concern for me. But we have a great staff here that, you know, is really complying to everything and making sure our guys are safe. And, I mean, for example, we did all the tests. They could not return. If you remember Greg Jones against, I think it was Indianapolis.
It was, yeah.
That got hit in the very first kickoff and staggered, but he came on the sideline, and after just a ton of tests on him, he was cleared to go and came back out there and led through like Greg Jones can. And
right.
So they go through it all, and if a guy can't pass it, they're not going to let him on the field.
How did the running game, and obviously the running game was with Rashad hurt. I mean, did Greg give you anything back on the field yesterday, or was it you're unable to see based on the results of the game?
Yeah, well, it was Greg just played like 12 snaps. I'm glad to have him back. He's an enforcer. It's just nice to have him on our team, and he brings a lot to the table for our team.
Because Montel had a couple of good runs early
on.
He
sure did. Montel, I was very proud of Montel. Montel hasn't had a lot of carries. I mean, Montel had some carries in the preseason, which I think he's had more than he's ever had,
yeah.
And really took advantage of it in the preseason. I thought he ran the ball well, ran the ball hard, and made some yards that he had to make him on his own.
Right now he's your starter, isn't he?
Right now he's a starter, yes. And that, which is that, I'm so glad we have him on our team.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a really good football player. And that's why, you know, the things he does on special teams, his first two plays, he had two blocks, and both guys were knocked down. Those are big. When you have blocks and they go down, that just kind of tells you the force this guy has.
If he's your starter, he's obviously not going to be able to play the full boat of special teams. You alluded to yesterday. Does he go to the special teams meetings? I mean, can he have a role in helping get people ready for special teams?
Oh, he does,
teams?
And he's very active in them. He's making comments. He asks questions to John Bonamigo, and he's very active in them. He'll be in there. And, Greg Jones, who's not even on them anymore, sits in there. I mean, we have guys that can be doing their own thing, but these guys come into those meetings and make their presence known that how important special teams are.
Because, well, he's your special teams captain still, right? I mean, you're
talking, oh, yeah, absolutely.
To lose him, so to speak, to need him on your, you know, first-team offense means that you don't get him so much for the –
No.
Specialty units, and that's a loss.
Well, you're talking about guys every week. We go into game planning starting today, and we'll talk about it more as we watch more film, but we go, who on the three phases do we need to be alert for? We call them game wreckers. These guys are difference makers on these schemes. And we do it offensively, defensively, obviously special teams. And every team has core special teams guys that you got to be aware of. He, for sure, I know, is on everybody's on the screen in the morning when they're going over the special. He's definitely the headliner.
And now he's your starting running back. It sounded in your news conference earlier today like Maurice Jones-Drew, I think, what did you say, very questionable to practice this week.
I'd say I have to see him more. I'll probably see more of him Wednesday.
Right.
You know, I think this time that we're having this time off has been good for him, the Monday and the Tuesday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, and then I'll know more Wednesday, see how he's getting along.
And if he's not ready to go, you've got Montel, and then it's a couple of other guys. I don't even know their name. Jordan Todman?
Jordan Todman. We just signed him last week. He was on
Yeah, you really you are really working hard to find guys who can run the ball for you right now. That position has been decimated.
And Richard Murphy, who we brought up from the practice squad. Again, that was his first game. He played six plays offensively and did some good things for us in protections and didn't run the ball. But
it's really the key, too. A guy's got to be able to get out there and protect.
Got to be able to protect. And you have to be, especially third down, with the multitudes of things they do, especially with the Jets coming in here. The Jets do a lot on third down. You have got to have a guy that understands what's going on with a lot of moving parts. And I'm glad we're at home. That helps.
Yeah, with the crowd noise.
With the snap count, it's not silent. I'm glad we're here at home, but we need, those are the guys that we need that can really do a good job protecting. And Jordan Todman, again, from UConn, returner, and you talk about a guy that's fast, he's fast. He's probably
– Really?
Oh, very fast. Very fast.
You like speed.
Like speed,
Take
yes.
speed any day of the week.
Yes.
Especially from a guy who's just coming in.
Yes, so we need that.
Fresh legs. All right, we are due for a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience. When the Jaguars host the Patriots on December 23rd, no purchase necessary. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Jaguars and Jets begins with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show for those of you in Jacksonville at 10 a.m., Jaguars pregame picks up the entire network at noon, kickoff at 1, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. By the way, talking about a beautiful day on Sunday, a high in the low 70s and sunny. And, that was not a bad weather day for Buffalo. It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been. Yeah, it was. That's not unusual for to have that kind of, the gray, overcast, windy, and, on and off rain. That was not... not unusual.
But you'd like a nice, sunny,
we
cool,
prefer
dry
that.
Day.
We prefer be home and in front of our fans on a nice, beautiful Sunday game day.
Now, what kind of a week is Chad Henne going to have getting ready for what Rex Ryan likes to do with defense, which is unpredictable, to say it kindly?
Well, we got to not just him. I think all of our guys, especially third down, we have struggled all year. And this last game against Buffalo was no different. We had a couple drops. We had a couple of... here's we had opportunities here and there, and we just really haven't capitalized. So, and this week they are very complicated. They walk around, they use different blitzes and different, identification is very important, communication is extremely important, and I think Chad, we got to be in some third and very makeable plays. We can't be in these third and 16s and third and where you've got to hold the ball, where you've got to wait for receivers to get down to get the distance to make it.
And that's been far too often this year. Second and 12 seems to be one of the most common downs I think I've called all season long.
Yeah, we've had numerous second and longs, and a lot of that's the run game. You got to somehow make yards on first down, and we really got to do the best thing to do is make first downs on first and second down. And if you can't, put yourself in third and makeables, and that's where the percentages where our goal is third and 2 to 5 or 6. Can be anywhere near 75%, 6 to 9, 50%, and then after that it dwindles down to 25%.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to be in that range.
Obviously, Mercedes Lewis was a pretty good target for you yesterday. Justin Blackmon had a few drops. If Cecil's in question, who's the next man up?
Well, that'd be Kevin Elliott.
Okay.
Kevin's had a couple catches yesterday. I'm glad he got that opportunity to catch a couple balls. He played earlier in the year against Indianapolis at their place. He's a big, he's an undrafted rookie who really is one of our better special teams players that doesn't have a lot of experience outside in the NFL, and we would go to Kevin first. And we've picked up Tony Clemens off the Pittsburgh practice squad last week. So Tony, again, another rookie that they've been kind of holding on to, is another big outside wide receiver that's going to get a chance that we're kind of excited about, too.
Elliott's a big, strong guy with some skills.
Yes.
I mean, he showed it. He's made a couple big plays in the preseason and on the practice field. We've talked about Justin Blackmon, and we've talked a lot about Cecil, obviously, developing. Have you seen development from him, or is that not to be expected because of his special teams role and because he doesn't get all the snaps that the other guys get?
He just doesn't get all the snaps. But, I mean, we're very young at that position. But we got some – we got a chance to develop some really good players, and I think you're starting to see that with Cecil and Justin Blackman. But that is a very –
it was a very young – it was a young group of those two guys.
It was a young group, but after that, it's even – it gets younger. That's what's – you know, for the future, that's a good thing. But right now, when we're having some of the injuries we're having, you know, you got to have some guys that got to step up and do some things they never have before.
And you need Justin to come back and have another big game.
And we do.
After yesterday, where there, you know, I don't know whether it was the web ball or, you know, taking his eye off the ball or what it was, but there were just a couple of drops that the last couple of weeks had become uncharacteristic.
Yeah, because he's got some great ball skills. And for
great
him
to skills.
Drop some of the balls he has, that's more frustrating for him than anybody. But one of them was a big one. We'd have gotten a first down. We'd have been on the four-yard line instead of having to kick a field goal. We'd have been in touchdown range. And again, those little things, you know, they've been haunting us. Drops all year. We lead the league in drops. And our numbers that we count are much higher than what the league statistics say. But we've got way too many, and they've been in critical. A lot of them have been on third down.
All right, more to come as we talk to Mike Mularkey about the New York Jets. And, folks, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with more after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart this Christmas season. Six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart offers you more fashion at less cost. Brian Sexton along with Coach Mike Mularkey here. You know, Coach, one play from yesterday's ballgame early on that I still don't understand, one penalty I should say, is you had the ball first and goal at the 3-yard line after Montel's run, and Cam Bradfield got hit with a 15-yard penalty. Now, I don't always see all the replay angles, but the one that I saw from our Bowden Eye Associates replay monitor was it looked like Bradfield was just playing through the whistle, and he was blocking a linebacker or a defensive back, just blocking, hands out, wasn't a late shot, clean off the pile, anything like that. That, to me, seemed like a really bad penalty. And the reason it was really bad was because you don't get a first and goal.
Right, knocked us out of scoring range right there.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, again, you're talking about a momentum changer. Boy, Montel made a great run, got us down in there, and we already had the next play called. And, you know, we're teaching – I mean, we preach daily about – especially to our offensive line, who we want violent, physical players that play to the whistle. Okay, we don't want dirty. We don't want anything after the whistle. We've never said that. We never want that. That is not our style.
Right.
But we do. We want people to fear our guys all the way to the whistle. I want them to know where they're coming from. And all he did was what we have asked him to do. And, you know, I don't know how he knew when there wasn't a whistle blowing not to block that guy. And
Well, it was a clean block, first of all. I mean, it was just a straight-up block. And I didn't hear the whistle.
The whistle had not blown, and that was what was the frustrating part about it.
Yeah, it was way too quick of a whistle. You know, and just now, to give them credit, they hit on Cecil later in the ballgame. They didn't throw the flag, and I said to Jeff, I said, they got to throw the flag here. I mean, that was it.
Well, I went out there first to check on Cecil, and
right.
They were not going to throw the flag.
Okay.
And I asked Peter Morelli that the
– how's that not defenseless?
I said – How do you think he got concussed if he wasn't hit in the head? I mean, it wasn't by the ground. I mean, I could see it and I heard it on our sideline that he got, he got a violent hit to the head. And if that's not illegal, I mean,
that's the very definition of defense.
Yeah, we're trying to be very safety conscious, especially when it comes to the blows to the head. And that one was, and give him credit, they even late threw the flag and gave us the 15 yards.
You know, and another one that I thought was a little bit sketchy, but you thought was right, was the Marcus Easley out of bounds on that 55-yard return where Richard Murphy – now, see, it looked to me, and I saw it late, but it looked to me like Richard Murphy got blocked by Antoine Blake coming over, blocked into him out of bounds, and that was the penalty.
I wish that was the case.
No, not so clear.
The worst thing was when Richard threw his hands up that I didn't do.
That's probably what I saw.
What the entire bench is over here screaming at me, saying I did. That was his guilt was when he raised his hands that I didn't do it when the whole stadium knew he did.
And one more. And again, you know where you can comment, where you can't. And that was the Jason Babin hit on the opening drive of the third quarter where they got the touchdown. It looked like you had him stopped on third down. They were going to have to settle for a field goal there, which dramatically changes. You're within 10 points there. And the reason that I bring it up to you is he didn't hit him in the head, and he was out running, and he had run several times and did not hook slide. He was a guy, and Jeff even made mention during our broadcast, you know, that's a brave quarterback, probably stupid brave, because he's leading with his head and his shoulder into linebackers.
He is a, first of all, I'll say this, he's a very tough quarterback.
Right.
I mean, you watch yesterday a lot of times, he'd hand the ball off, and he'd go look to try to block one of our defensive ends, anybody that was free. He doesn't stand back there and watch the play. He actually tries to get involved. But on that play, you know, he got rid of the ball, just got rid of it because he knew he was about to get hit. But I could see what the officials would see because of the way Fitzpatrick's head basically snapped back. It was because of how violent the punch to his chest was
right.
by Bavin. I mean, so it looked like, boy, this is a great hit. But it was just a violent, really thump to this guy's chest. And his head snapped back because of it. And it looked like it was a blow to the head. But we didn't feel like that was the case.
So when you look at that rule, in general, if a quarterback like that's going to get out and run and not slide, well, he's fair game, right? He's a running
back. Yeah, and they are. They're fair game. You just obviously you can't hit anybody in the head like that.
But he didn't hit him in the head, right? But it looked like
It looked like it did. It did. It did look like that. But
I get the protecting the quarterback. I understand their importance to the you know the product overall. But Fitzpatrick running a couple of times yesterday, I thought made him a target because he ran into those linebackers.
Right.
Now
well, we got
the shoulder.
And it's hard to tell Jason don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you know he's only been here a week, but he doesn't know the number of third down roughing the passer. Penalties we've had that have extended drives, not for extra plays, but extended drives for touchdowns.
Right.
And there's another third down situation that gave him more plays. And
I don't mean to belabor the point, but, you know, this is a guy, a quarterback, that's out there running, and it's one-on-one because Babin
right.
was the only guy out there. I mean, if Babin lets up, Fitzpatrick goes right around him.
Yeah, you can't let up.
No, you can't let up. You have to.
I mean, no, he did what he's coached
yeah,
to.
Yeah, all right. Just wanted to bring those a few up to your attention level. Hope a fine doesn't come across the table for you. For
no, I'm not. I think they did it. You know, they're doing their best out there. You know, they don't agree with everything we think, and the same goes. It's not. I'm not questioning. Yeah. I can see what they saw with the head snap on Fitzpatrick.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back more with head coach Mike Mularkey. Do not forget Jeff Loggeman and Brad Meester on Jaguars All Access at CBS 47, 7 o'clock this evening. And we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. So the big story out of New York this week is who's the quarterback? Mark Sanchez pulled yesterday. Greg McElroy goes in, leads him to a 7-6 win. Obviously, there's the local connection with Tim Tebow. Are you trying to guess, or do you have a sense of what they might do, or how do you prepare not knowing who the starting quarterback is?
Well, that is a little bit of a challenge because there are different types of quarterback. McElroy can get out of the pocket. You know, they've got three quarterbacks with Tebow and obviously Sanchez, and they just felt like it was a little – they just weren't getting accomplished what they wanted. And he threw three interceptions, and McElroy did a good job. He went down there, really put two drives together to help win that game. But we're going to prepare kind of just the what-ifs, and I think they've got an advantage right now of not letting us know who is going to be that guy, and that's a smart – decision on their part because it is a competitive advantage us not knowing
sure.
which one of those guys is going to be the guy.
Joe, you got a Facebook question?
Yeah, we'll get this from AJ, guys. Coach Mularkey, will we see more of Rasheen Mathis this Sunday?
We will. We definitely will. And, you know, I told Rasheen this morning that I should have played him more in this last game. But I just felt like, and again, I told him it was totally up my decision, nobody else's, that he did not play as much, and some of that had to do with they weren't really throwing the football. They threw five passes in the second half, and the weather conditions were not good. But that he played 50 snaps the week before, played well enough to get in there, and he will play more. He definitely will, and I want him to know that. I want him to know that this week, and I want him to know today.
Well, and if Sanchez is the quarterback, and he very well could be, I mean, Rex isn't giving any indication at all, Sanchez is a drop-back throw. You know, he can put the ball down
yes.
the field, so you kind of like to have your best cover corners. Because did I see earlier that Derek Cox is questionable to practice this week?
We're going
to
see Wednesday where he's at with his
okay.
with his injury. And
So he's questionable as to whether he practices this week to a degree.
Yes.
And yeah, with that, yeah, you'd kind of like to have Rasheen out there on the field.
Right, and Aaron Ross, you know, didn't finish the game as well. So we've got some things going on with our secondary, and that's kind of been the case all year long. We've had a lot of guys playing for us.
Yeah, and Mike Harris is a young guy, but he's playing pretty well for you.
Yeah, he is. He's learning on the fly.
Tough guy. You know, he'll step right in and play.
He's a very good tackler. You know, for the most part, he's one of our best tacklers on our kickoff team. Unfortunately, he's a safety, which is not – you don't want him making a lot of tackles as a safety.
No, you sure don't.
But he's very good at tackling. And he's learning. He's played well for us as a nickel, playing all the slot receivers. But he's been thrown as a – you know, he played last week as a true corner, and it's good for him.
You know, the quarterback situation in New York may be up in the air this week, but the running back is not. Sean Green's a big guy, big, powerful guy, had 104 yards yesterday against the Arizona Cardinals, and that's pretty good defense. He's a load.
Yeah, that is. I think the Cardinals have one of the top defenses in the NFL, and, you know, they pounded him up in there. And, again, they're going to see – they're going to look at tape on us, and they're going to see a mix of what we can, and if we don't do it, what we can't do. And so I think they're going to go off this latest film and – try to come in here and run the ball.
All right, Coach, let's take our final break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Mike Mularkey Show right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show, Jaguars and Jets. Sunday afternoon should be beautiful weather. Sunny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10 a.m. for those of you in Jacksonville. Jaguars pregame for our entire network. Then kickoff at 1, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. We talked a little bit about Sanchez and the Jets on the offensive side of the ball. Again, who the quarterback is up in the air. Defensive side of the ball, Coach, we just touched briefly on how they like to change things up and walk guys around. Who are the game wreckers on that side of the ball when you look at their lineup? I mean, Bart Scott and David Harris, you know, those two linebackers are a tremendous combination. We used to talk about Darrell Revis, but obviously he's on injured reserve.
We have Cromartie outside who they'll match up.
Freakish athlete.
Yeah, unbelievable player. But, again, it just seems like every week I say this, but their defensive line, their front three guys are the game. You know, they're the strengths of that defense, and the linebackers play off of them. But
the Wilkerson kid.
Wilkerson is playing very well.
Get out of Temple,
Pro Bowl type of year. But
and the nose guard, Pua.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big run stopper.
Big guy.
Big run. You don't see a lot of you don't see a lot of numbers with sack numbers, but these guys are—they're tough to block and they're very good against the run. And
well, but they set everything else up.
I mean, they set everything up, stopping the run. And again, they get it's this 3-4 kind of mentality. You get your guys coming off the outside that trying to contain the offense, and it'll be a good challenge. It'll be definitely a good challenge. You know, Rex has always done a good job with the defense.
And you've worked around him, I mean, across the field from him for years, you know. Can you get inside his mind and figure out what he's doing, or are they just so complex from so many different angles that
– No, it's not. You can, if you break it down, like I told our team last week before this past game, everything we do has rules. If you're unsure what to do, apply the rules we've been talking about since the first day we were here with our installation. And they typically will apply and hold up against anything that you'll see, because you can only do so much. You can walk around, but you're going to end up in some place that and again, you better be where you're supposed to be when the ball snaps, because that's the problem defensively. If you're out of place trying to deceive the offense, you can be gashed at the same time. So it does have its advantages of us having to ID them, but it also has its disadvantages. If the ball snapped while you're doing that, there are some voids that can be exposed pretty dramatically.
So if Chad knows what to look for, he could be the aggressor.
And Chad, you know, think about it. Chad has faced these guys, you know, being with the Dolphins. So this is not new to Chad. Chad knows what's coming. And, you know, Chad is very diligent about his studying, and he'll bring in the skill guys, the tight ends, the receivers in the backs. And these guys will be very prepared, especially with Chad talking them through it.
All right. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Jaguars and Jets. Next opportunity. Final month of the season with a chance to finish strong, and I know that you're
that's still the objective.
Preaching that with
yes.
your guys.
Yeah, we are not giving up. This is where we're headed. We're going to finish this thing strong no matter what.
Coach, thanks for your time tonight.
Right,
have a good week.
Thanks.
And that'll do it for the Mike Mularkey Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next Monday night at 6:00.